The CBS News Weekend Roundup after this short break.
Don't have time to keep up with the news? Try the CBS News Radio app on your iOS or Android device. You'll get the latest news as soon as you start it up. It's that easy. You can also listen to great programming like Face the Nation, Weekend Roundup, or the CBS Evening News.
And good evening. Wall Street today signaled its approval of the tax cuts passed by the Republican-controlled Congress.
You can even download them straight to your phone and listen later. It's all on the CBS News Radio app for iOS or Android. Download it today.
This is the CBS News Weekend Roundup, the latest on the Paul Manafort trial.
Jurors in the Manafort case say they need more time to consider the charges.
Plus, the president's big military parade scrapped.
It may be a function of how the elections go in November of 2018.
And a tribute to the Queen of Soul.
Her songs about womanhood, strength, and heartbreak.
I'm Steve Dorsey at the CBS News Washington Bureau. Let's start this weekend with the trial of former Trump campaign chairman Paul Manafort on tax and bank fraud charges. Our Stephen Portnoy has this report from the Alexandria, Virginia Federal Courthouse.
After 2 days of deliberations, jurors in the Manafort case say they need more time to consider the charges. Judge T.S. Ellis says they'll return on Monday. Ellis stunned a packed courtroom by saying he has faced threats while presiding over the trial and that he's receiving protection from the U.S. Marshals. Ellis declined a motion made by news organizations to make the jurors' names part of the public record. Ellis says he's concerned about their peace and safety.
13 former senior intelligence officials have signed a letter of support for former CIA Director John Brennan, blasting the president's decision to strip him of a security clearance, calling it inappropriate and deeply regrettable. But on Friday, speaking to reporters outside the White House before leaving for Southampton, New York, President Trump doubled down on his decision.
I've had a tremendous response for having done that.
The lawyer for Peter Strzok, the FBI agent removed from the special counsel's Russia probe last year after sending disparaging texts about then-candidate Donald Trump, says he's been fired.
Strzok's attorney says he was dismissed even though the FBI's Office of Professional Responsibility had recommended a demotion and a 60-day suspension.
Correspondent Paula Reed reporting Strzok's GoFundMe page for legal fees has now reached nearly $500,000. Former aide to President Trump, Omarosa Manigault Newman, says she's talked with the special counsel's office as she promotes her book.
Omarosa's latest claim, which is not in her tell-all book published by an imprint of Simon & Schuster, a division of CBS, is that President Trump knew ahead of time that WikiLeaks was going to release emails from Hillary Clinton's campaign.
President Trump's campaign has filed an arbitration against Omarosa, claiming she violated a non-disparagement agreement.
Omarosa responded to say she will not be bullied into silence.
Correspondent Nicole Killian reporting Omarosa also claiming she heard a tape of President Trump while he was on The Apprentice years ago using the N-word. The White House has denied that. President Trump says he's canceled a planned military parade on Veterans Day to mark the 100th anniversary of the end of World War I. He says local politicians in Washington drove the cost up too high, estimated at $92 million. Retired Army Colonel Jeff McCausland is a CBS News military consultant.
It may be a function of how the elections go in November of 2018, because there's going to have to be some budgetary authorization in the Pentagon budget to pay for an exercise like this if Mr. Trump's party should suffer losses in the House of Representatives and no longer have a majority. That could become problematic.
The president says he'll instead visit Paris on Veterans Day. A report released Tuesday revealed decades of sexual abuse of over 1,000 children at the hands of more than 300 Catholic priests in Pennsylvania. CBS's Nikki Batiste reports it details secret records by the church.
A trove of documents containing allegations and admissions of sexual abuse was kept locked up in what the church calls its secret archives, with the only key in the bishop's hands.
The cover-up made it impossible to achieve justice for the victims.
Pennsylvania Attorney General Josh Shapiro laid out a pattern of consistent, decades-long cover-up across the six dioceses. The files contained strategies that were practically a playbook for concealing the truth. Among the tactics for church record-keeping, use euphemisms, never say rape, say inappropriate contact or boundary issues. Even if a priest is raping children, keep providing housing and living expenses. Above all, don't tell the police. Handle it like a personnel matter in-house. Washington, D.C. Archbishop Cardinal Donald Worrell presided over 32 to accuse priests during his 18 years at the Pittsburgh Diocese. He sat down with us the night before the report's release.
During my tenure, we acted very appropriately with many times removal from ministry.
But according to the grand jury, in 1991, Worrell reassigned an accused priest, Ernest Payone, to the Reno Diocese. In 1995, he returned George Zerwas, a member of a pedophile ring, to ministry.
Nikki Batiste, CBS News, New York.
The Vatican responded to the grand jury's report saying it feels, quote, shame and sorrow. This weekend, tribute set for Aretha Franklin, who died at age 76 Thursday. Correspondent Vladimir Dutier looks back at her life.
For six decades, Aretha Franklin's career demanded just that, respect. Her songs about womanhood, strength, and heartbreak have transcended generations.
Baby, here I am, by the railroad tracks, waiting for my baby. It's coming on back.
A child prodigy by many accounts, Franklin learned to play piano by ear. She grew up singing gospel at a Detroit church, where her famous preacher father was a minister. In 1961, Franklin made the transition from gospel singer to a pop singer. And with the release of her first secular album, her star quickly began to rise. Franklin would go on to win 18 Grammy Awards.
I can't treat it of thee.
And perform at inaugural events for three presidents. Born in Memphis, Franklin was raised in Detroit by a single father. Her mother moved away when she was just 6 years old, and 4 years later, she died of a heart attack. Just shy of her 13th birthday, Franklin gave birth to her first child. Less than 2 years later, she gave birth to the second of four children. According to her biography, Franklin struggled with depression, alcoholism, and she had a weight problem. In recent years, she sang for the Pope when he visited the U.S. And in 2015, she brought President Obama to tears during the Kennedy Center Honors while singing A Natural Woman. Over the last decade, Franklin's health seemed to decline. In an interview with Anthony Mason for CBS Sunday Morning in 2011, he asked her about it.
How is your health?
My health is wonderful. It is fabulous now.
People were worried about you.
Yeah, I was worried.
There were a lot of rumors about what you had, what you went through. Can you tell us anything?
It wasn't anything. Well, it wasn't that.
Franklin's last known performance was in November 2017 for Elton John's AIDS Foundation Fall Gala. And, like always, the Queen of Soul delivered.
Vladimir Dutier reporting on the legacy of Aretha Franklin. Coming up, why dozens of people were rushed to the hospital in New Haven, Connecticut on the Weekend Roundup. On the CBS News Weekend Roundup, I'm Steve Dorsey. A Colorado man who reported his wife and children missing was charged with their murders Wednesday. Here's correspondent Chris Martinez.
And it's been nonstop.
Police describe it as shattering. First, the disappearance of Shanann Watts and her two young daughters. Now, the arrest of Chris Watts, her husband, and the search for bodies.
At this point, we have been able to recover a body that we're quite certain is Shanann Watts' body. We have strong reason to believe that we know where the bodies of the children are, and recovery efforts are in process on that.
Frederick police arrested Watts on Wednesday. Investigators were seen searching the family's home and towing away a truck late that night. A day earlier, Watts spoke about his wife's disappearance and may have hinted at trouble in the marriage.
Did you guys get into an argument before she left?
It wasn't like an argument. We had an emotional conversation, but I'll leave it at that. But it's... I just want them back. I just want them to come back. And if if they're not safe right now, that's what's tearing me apart.
Investigators would not confirm whether Watts has confessed, but called it a horrible outcome.
This is absolutely the worst possible outcome that any of us could imagine. And I think our hearts are broken for the town of Frederick.
Watts was last seen Monday after she returned from a business trip. She and the girls, 4-year-old Bella and 3-year-old Celeste, were reported missing that day. Shanann Watts was 15 weeks pregnant. Chris Martinez, CBS News, Los Angeles.
A new CDC estimate says drug overdoses killed a record 72,000 Americans last year. On Wednesday, more than 70 people overdosed on synthetic marijuana around a Connecticut park. The drug known as K2 can be 100 times more potent than regular marijuana.
Ending 4, emergency 1, responding on an EMS alarm. New Haven Green.
As emergency responders rushed to the scene, they found dozens of people nauseous and unconscious on the green.
Stop moving.
One man said they were dropping like the plague.
It's just a scary scene.
Adding to the chaos, a press conference about the overdoses was interrupted.
Say, we're getting another call of a person. Ken, yeah, if you want to just get someone on the radio.
More than 70 people were transported to local hospitals, and officials believe most took the synthetic marijuana known as K2.
I guess it's appropriate that we're in a lab because synthetic marijuana is not a plant at all.
No, it's not. It's a chemical made in a laboratory.
Yale School of Public Health dean says because synthetic marijuana is newer than most drugs, it has escaped regular oversight.
In some jurisdictions, this is not illegal to sell. We have a very serious regulatory and policy gap.
New Haven city officials have dealt with this before. 14 overdoses were reported on July 4th, and a public safety alert was declared after 2 nearly deadly incidents in January. But Fire Chief John Alston says it's a nationwide problem. New York dealt with a similar situation when nearly 60 people overdosed on K2 in May.
People are self-medicating for several different reasons. And every agency, police, fire, medical, hospitals, all are strained at this time. This is a problem that's not going away.
And as if the problem of K2 were not bad enough, a medical director at one of the two hospitals where overdose patients were taken says there are signs that some of the K2 may have been dosed with opioids. More than 13,000 people in the past 3 years have reportedly been sickened by K2, and there have been more than 1,200 cases through the first 7 months of this year alone. Tony DeCopel, CBS News, New Haven, Connecticut.
A Baltimore police officer caught on video beating a man has been charged in that attack after resigning. He pleaded not guilty to the charges Wednesday.
For what?
The punches seem to come without warning. Deshaun McGreer is repeatedly hit in the head and body by the officer, who continues to throw punches, tackling McGreer and pinning him to the ground. Interim Baltimore Police Commissioner Gary Tuggle suspended the officer immediately.
I was presented with his resignation and I accepted it. We're trained to act in a non-emotional way. And if we get to the point where we start to go outside those lines, there really needs to be some intervention.
McGreer's attorney, Warren Brown, says the officer, who had been on the force for just over a year, tried to provoke his client. He claims the officer arrested McGreer back in June for allegedly assaulting him, a charge McGreer is fighting in court.
People like that destroy the progress to reconcile the differences between the community and the police department.
The Baltimore Police Department has faced a number of allegations of police brutality and fabricating evidence in recent years. In January, an officer was indicted after his body camera appeared to show him planting drugs at the scene of a bust. And in 2015, the city faced a series of protests following the death of Freddie Gray, who was injured in police custody and later died.
Now, McGreer also tells us he was contacted by the mayor, the interim police commissioner, and the state's attorney's offices on the day the incident took place. So he has a sense that they do want to send a message. This type of behavior is unacceptable. Errol Barnett, CBS News, Baltimore, Maryland.
In October, trial has been scheduled for that officer, Arthur Williams. Environmental activists worry about the future of a key fund to protect parks and wildlife areas. Colin O'Mara is head of the National Wildlife Federation. Colin, tell me what's going on with the Land and Water Conservation Fund in Congress. What's at stake for it?
Yeah, the Land and Water Conservation Fund, which is America's most effective program for conserving land and creating parks and
and providing recreational access expires in 45 days at the end of September. And this is a program that's responsible for the creation of 41,000 parks around the country. It's helped conserve, you know, 500 million acres of land for public enjoyment. Even so, folks that don't necessarily always know what the program is have all benefited from it in every single state, in every single county across the country.
Colin, as you know, critics call this a slush fund for federal land grabs. Do you see it as that?
I don't. And I think, you know, at the end of the day, there's always kind of politics behind a lot of issues. But this is actually one of the most bipartisan issues on the Hill right now.
But Colin, the National Park Service has something like a multi-million-dollar maintenance backlog. Why should the federal government use this money to buy more land if it can't maintain the land it already has?
Yeah, so it may seem counterintuitive, but in many places, some of the pieces they want to buy are pieces that are actually inside of existing park units. And it actually reduces the maintenance costs if you actually have those pieces in the checkerboard kind of filled out. But I'm not going to deny there are massive problems with the way we fund conservation in this country. You know, we don't spend enough money on wildlife habitat. We definitely don't spend enough on conserving our national parks and our wildlife refuges. And those are the basis of our, you know, almost trillion-dollar outdoor economy. Right now, it's over $900 million outdoor economy that supports 7.5 million jobs. And so there's actually a great initiative that, again, is bipartisan between Republicans and Democrats trying to deal with these big maintenance backlogs. But that's not a reason not to protect these special places and get more folks outdoors in more parts of the country.
The National Wildlife Federation's Colin O'Meara on the Weekend Roundup.
Up next, more questions about why an Italian bridge collapsed.
New photos have emerged appearing to show just how badly the bridge had deteriorated before collapsing.
On the CBS News Weekend Roundup.
Sunday nights, Monday mornings, or Tuesday afternoons. You can listen to 60 Minutes whenever you want with the weekly podcast from CBS News.
How do we know you're telling the truth?
Because I have no reason to lie.
With hard-hitting investigative reports, interviews, and profiles.
Did these documents that you got prove corruption?
Oh, absolutely.
From a variety of CBS News correspondents and contributors.
I'm Steve Croft.
I'm Leslie Stahl.
I'm Anderson Cooper.
For the biggest scoops and the best storytelling, subscribe to the 60 Minutes podcast today.
On the CBS News Weekend Roundup, I'm Steve Dorsey. Funerals are underway this weekend in Italy after dozens of people were killed when a 50-year-old bridge collapsed in Genoa, Italy. Correspondent Charlie Daggett is there.
Valentina Galbucera knows how very close she came to plunging over that bridge.
I was died.
You would have died?
Yeah.
The mother of two said the bridge started shaking violently. Then the giant A-frame tower in front of her collapsed like flour.
The cone, yes, fall down like a flower.
Like flour.
Like a flower. And was like also the Twin Towers.
Just yeah. Dust.
Yes.
She abandoned her car and ran for her life. British tourists Nicola and Lisa Henton Mitchell were a bit further back.
People started shouting, waving their arms to reverse.
We couldn't go anywhere, and the car in front hit the front of our car, and then people were running, screaming in Italian, run, out!
New fears that more of the 3,900-foot bridge might plummet prompted authorities to evacuate hundreds more residents. And new photos have emerged, appearing to show just how badly the bridge had deteriorated before collapsing. When Galbucera got home, she hugged her two young daughters like she had never done before.
All my family and all my friends.
Charlie Daggett of CBS News, Genoa, Italy.
A magnitude 5.3 earthquake also struck southern Italy Thursday. No deaths or major damage were reported. British authorities have charged a man with attempted murder and suspected terrorism after he drove a car into cyclists outside Parliament Wednesday.
It hit a group of cyclists, jumped the sidewalk, and then smashed into the heavy metal security barrier. It took just seconds for London police to arrive on the scene. Guns drawn, they surrounded the car, arrested the driver, and led him away in handcuffs. Emergency services treated three people on the scene. There were no life-threatening injuries. And that's probably because of special anti-terrorist barriers erected at strategic locations after last year's car ramming on Westminster Bridge, which killed five people.
These are the same barriers that line the street where the attack took place. They are rock solid.
The car was driven by a 29-year-old British man from Birmingham. Police are still trying to determine his motive, but are treating it as a terrorist incident. And as other similar attacks have shown, like the one which killed 86 people in Nice 2 years ago, and the one in New York City which killed 8, using a vehicle as a deadly weapon has become a frequent terrorist tactic.
US and British intelligence are sharing information regarding the incident, but at this stage, Scotland Yard believes there is no ongoing threat connected to the attack. Deborah Patter, CBS News, London.
Turkey's economy is on a downward spiral after new U.S. sanctions on steel and aluminum exports, amid calls by the White House to release an American pastor under house arrest there.
This is an economic war, according to Turkey, and the enemy is America, its NATO ally. The Turkish lira has been falling in value for months, but last week it plummeted 20% because of a dispute with Washington over Andrew Brunson, an evangelical pastor from North Carolina who's lived in Turkey for more than 20 years and is accused by the Turkish government of terrorism and spying.
Pastor Brunson has been detained here in Turkey for nearly 2 years. The US says it's seen no credible evidence against him.
I have a message on behalf of the President of the United States of America. Release Pastor Andrew Brunson now, or be prepared to face the consequences.
Those consequences are U.S. sanctions and a doubling of tariffs on Turkish steel and aluminum. In retaliation, Turkey's doubled tariffs on U.S. passenger cars, coal and other goods, and announced a boycott of U.S. electronic goods. These angry Turks tore up fake dollar bills in protest. Many people here believe this crisis is all the fault of the US, even though experts have been warning of danger signs for months, some blaming Turkey's authoritarian president, Recep Tayyip Erdogan.
I think Turkey's actually proven to be effectively tone deaf to the vulnerabilities with its own economy.
A defiant President Erdogan said, quote, "They have their dollars, we have our God," last week. Holly Williams, CBS News, Istanbul.
The U.S. is imposing new sanctions against three foreign companies based in China, Singapore, and Russia. It accuses of doing business with North Korea in violation of international sanctions. It comes amid international frustration with North Korea's slow denuclearization process. More from CBS's Kylie Atwood.
Earlier this year, President Trump declared that the U.S. had hundreds of sanctions that it could be putting on North Korea, but it was holding off because the two countries were talking nicely, his words, not mine. And so now it kind of appears we have this round of sanctions. We had some sanctions earlier in August. The talks aren't going as nicely as he would have hoped, or they wouldn't be putting these sanctions on.
Israeli police questioned Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu Friday over his alleged dealings with the country's largest telecommunications agency. More from reporter Linda Gradstein in Jerusalem.
Protesters outside Benjamin Netanyahu's home in Jerusalem called for the prime minister to step down. Netanyahu is suspected of making decisions that would benefit Shaul Elovich, who is the leading shareholder in Bezeq, Israel's largest telecommunications firm. In exchange, Elovich reportedly gave Netanyahu positive coverage on a news site he owns. Netanyahu denies all charges. Linda Gradstein for CBS News, Jerusalem.
Human rights groups are condemning a suicide blast inside a school that killed dozens of kids Wednesday in Kabul. CBS News correspondent Kemi McCormick reports from the Pentagon on the latest in a string of attacks that's embarrassed both the Afghan government and the U.S. military.
The latest attack was on a training center for Afghanistan's intelligence service. The attackers were armed with rocket-propelled grenades and automatic rifles, and they held off security forces for hours. This is just the latest in a series of attacks across Afghanistan over the past week. They come a year after President Trump announced his new strategy for Afghanistan, one military leaders have insisted is working.
Back home, just over 6 months after the shootings that killed 17 people, students at Marjory Stoneman Douglas High School in Parkland, Florida, have returned home.
I'm Peter King in Parkland, Florida. Seriously enhanced. That's how Broward County School Superintendent Robert Runcie describes the changes here at Marjory Stoneman Douglas High.
We have multiple armed school resource officers at Stoneman Douglas. We have
again, doubled the number of security staff.
There are more surveillance cameras. Students and staff members are now wearing picture IDs. He says the district as a whole has expanded its mental health and threat assessment teams to try to ensure that what happened here Valentine's Day never happens again. Peter King, CBS News, Parkland, Florida.
Coming up on the weekend roundup, which med school is giving away free tuition?
It's the first major U.S. medical school to offer free tuition to all of its medical students.
Follow us on Twitter. We've got headlines at CBS News Radio, and I'm tweeting at Steve_Dorsey on the CBS News Weekend Roundup. On the CBS News Weekend Roundup, I'm Steve Dorsey. Lawmakers on Capitol Hill want more answers on how a Seattle airport baggage handler stole a plane and crashed it into a remote coastal island in Washington State last weekend. More from CBS News transportation correspondent Chris Van Cleve.
3 days after Horizon Air employee Richard Russell took control of an unoccupied commuter plane from the SeaTac airport.
Yeah, I just kind of want to do a couple maneuvers to see what it can do.
Port of Seattle executives defended the airport's screening procedures.
We have always met all federal security protocols.
Commissioner Courtney Gregoire said a review found all security protocols were properly followed before Russell gained access to the plane and took off.
I got a lot of people that care about me, and it's going to disappoint them to hear that I did this.
Russell passed federal criminal background checks that looked back 10 years and had no links to terrorism. He was one of more than 12,000 people with access to the airfield at SeaTac.
For me, it's really more of an issue of access and appropriate access, irregardless of what the intent of the actor is.
David Pekoski is the TSA administrator.
Is this something that should be a wake-up call for airports, airlines, and your agency?
It's certainly not a new issue at all for any of us. This highlights an additional vulnerability, and it's something that really I'd just like to see the entire fact set.
Senator Maria Cantwell of Washington is already calling for hearings about what happened at SeaTac Friday night. Horizon is owned by Alaska Airlines. The company says it is cooperating with investigators to determine how this happened and how it can be prevented. Chris Van Cleve, CBS News, Reagan National Airport, Virginia.
That air traffic control audio you heard from the site Broadcastify. Some political firsts in the U.S. could be in store for Democrats after last Tuesday's primaries. Correspondent John Schumo recaps some of the headline races.
Minnesotans backed Ilhan Omar in the congressional primary. She would become the first Somali-American elected to Congress.
Together we can organize around the politics of hope.
Omar and Rashida Tlaib, who won her primary in Michigan last week, are favorites to become the first two Muslim women in Congress. Minnesota could also have the first Muslim attorney general in the U.S. after Democratic Representative Keith Ellison won his primary. In Vermont, Democrats chose Christine Hallquist for governor. She would become the nation's first transgender governor if elected, but has an uphill battle against Republican incumbent Phil Scott.
It's not just about the transgender community. It's not just about the LGBT community. It's about all marginalized communities.
The Republican primary for governor in Minnesota saw the influence of President Trump.
I support Donald Trump. I have always supported Donald Trump.
Jeff Johnson beat former Governor Tim Pawlenty, who struggled to distance himself from negative comments he made about the president during the 2016 election. John Schumo, CBS News.
Taking a stand for press freedom.
Responding to an invitation from the Boston Globe, hundreds of newspapers around the country posted editorials countering President Trump's contention that the media is the enemy of the people. 350 news organizations urged people to fight back against that and the label fake news. The St. Louis Post-Dispatch called journalists the truest of patriots. The Fayetteville, North Carolina Observer said it hopes Mr. Trump would stop, but they're not holding their breath. Pam Coulter, CBS News.
Pearl Jam getting political.
Republicans are lashing out at the rock group Pearl Jam over a poster that shows the White House in flames and a bald eagle pecking at a skeleton they say is meant to depict President Trump. It's the official poster from Monday's Rock to Vote concert in Montana, meant to encourage young people to vote in the midterm elections and support the state's Democratic U.S. Senator John Tester. Tester's team says it doesn't like the poster or condone violence of any kind. Allison Keyes, CBS News.
Parents pressured to spend more this time of year as kids head back to school.
You could probably get this.
Victoria Heller is taking her four kids back to school shopping at Kmart. All of them started making requests before they even got in the store.
They want everything that they see from their phones. Specifically, they come to me and ask for it. Yes.
The National Retail Federation predicts back-to-school spending will hit nearly $83 billion this year. The average family is expected to shell out $684.
We know that kids today, this generation, they're called Gen Z, influences a large portion of how their families shop and spend.
That's why advertisers pitch products directly to kids. They used to do it through TV. Now they find young consumers on their smart devices.
I see like 20 a day.
20 ads for school supplies on your phone a day.
Yeah, I see a lot on YouTube.
About half of children 10 to 12 years old now have a smartphone, and many are already savvy shoppers. Amazon allows kids as young as 13 years old to have their own login on a parent's account.
I'm looking for new pens and new markers.
9-year-old Madison Asse saw an ad on YouTube for markers and is hoping her mom will buy them.
You're seeing more ads for back-to-school supplies this year than ever before?
Yeah. Yes.
I know you guys need these, too.
Heller admits she often gives in to her kids' demands, which leads her to spend more.
Hundreds, definitely hundreds. It'll cost you hundreds more? Yes.
It's likely more parents will be opening their wallets wider as companies continue to target kids on social media. Meg Oliver, CBS News, West Orange, New Jersey.
Finally, a new option for folks who rely on a critical medication. Here's CBS's Steve Kathan.
The FDA has approved a generic version of the EpiPen, which is used for emergency allergy medication. It's a relief for Megan Brunson, who needs one for her 11-year-old son in North Texas. She's run into shortages and high prices.
It's about $700 or just shy of $700 for one box. And I really needed to have the generic.
Under fire from Congress over costs, the maker Mylan launched its own generic months ago. It's not clear how much this new one from Teva Pharmaceuticals will cost or when it will be on the market. Steve Kathan, CBS News.
So-called smart drugs may not make everyone so smart, according to new research. More from CBS's Larry Miller.
Students who don't have ADHD but take the smart drug Adderall, hoping for an improved academic performance, may be disappointed. A study in the journal Pharmacy found some memory functions actually worsened. Brown University's Tara White worked on the study. She says students without ADHD might believe the drug makes them smarter, but that's mostly in the head.
People may not do as well under this drug than they think.
And the drug was found to raise heart and blood pressure.
This drug does have strong physiological and known effects.
Larry Miller, CBS News.
Good news for med students studying at New York University. CBS News correspondent Jim Chenevy in New York explains why.
What if you could become a doctor without having to pay medical school tuition? Now you can at New York University. It's the first major U.S. medical school to offer free tuition to all of its medical students. School officials cite rising tuition and six-figure school loans for contributing to a shortage of medical researchers and primary care doctors. Associate Dean Dr. Rafael Rivera telling the Wall Street Journal full tuition scholarships will make it possible for aspiring physicians to pursue scientific breakthroughs and better serve their communities. Jim Chenevy, CBS News.
Coming up, how one library is sharing stories for the 21st century on the CBS News Weekend Roundup.
This is The Takeout with Major Garrett.
Every week, an extended conversation at a restaurant in our nation's capital with newsmakers like Republican Congressman Trey Gowdy. Do you think it would be wise for the president to sit down for an interview with Robert Mueller?
I do.
Democratic National Committee Chair Tom Perez.
This president has absolutely no moral compass.
Trump cabinet member Linda McMahon.
First time that I met Donald Trump was at a Rolling Stones concert.
Politics, policy, and a side of pop culture. The Takeout with me, Major Garrett.
On the CBS News Weekend Roundup, I'm Steve Dorsey. On Monday, the world will mark the 50th anniversary of the Soviet-led invasion of then Czechoslovakia. Correspondent Steve Futterman looks back at the end of the Prague Spring.
50 years ago, here in Wenceslas Square, Soviet tanks lined the streets.
All Wenceslas Square was full of these tanks, and no other cars, only tanks and soldiers.
It was the Soviet invasion of Czechoslovakia.
The emotion on the street, I'm sure.
It was very, very emotional, yeah, because It was crazy for us, yeah, so many soldiers.
This is how it was reported on CBS.
Soviet military forces, along with troops from East Germany, Poland, Hungary, and Bulgaria, have invaded Czechoslovakia. Radio Prague is now apparently off the air after having reported that the invasion was ordered without the knowledge of Czech leaders. The Czech people have been told not to resist. Travel and communications in and out of Czechoslovakia have been cut off. And this late report just in from Prague says Soviet tanks and armored cars have now surrounded the Czechoslovak Central Committee building in Prague after communist troops from five nations marched on Czechoslovakia several hours ago.
A half century later, people clearly remember August 1968.
21. If you say August 21, everybody know what is it about. Yeah,
it's such a historic day.
Yeah.
Those who were not alive 50 years ago also know what took place. They have been taught by their parents and their teachers.
Yes, of course, I know about it. And I can say a few memories from my parents. They were very young, too. But I know that my mother remembered that very clearly. So, yes, I have a few memories from my parents.
And you've seen pictures in the historic, pictures. in the books?
Yes. So, for example, I remember that people were... I know that they tried to somehow fight against them, but it was huge power, army power, the Russian side. So they had no chance to somehow... fight against them.
The invasion was a response to liberalization here in Czechoslovakia. It was called socialism with a human face. The invasion brought that to a quick end. What do you think we learned from 1968?
Well, in the negative, we of course had to correct our views of Russia.
Jan Sokol was a leading Czech dissident in 1968.
It was a terrible experience. Which even the local communists were shocked by what happened.
Another leading dissident, Irina Shikova, believes the Czech invasion marked the slow beginning of the end of Soviet domination.
Yes, it was the end of the Soviet Empire. It was the end of the influence, ideological empire or ideas empire. It was the end of this.
Soviet domination would continue until 1989, when the communist government finally fell and Czechoslovakia was free. Steve Futterman, CBS News, Prague.
From war to love. Here's correspondent Matt Piper.
They met in an elevator. And fell in love. Sharon Rubin and Eric Schlesinger met briefly on move-in day at Temple University in September 1972. She was moving in. He was operating the dorm elevator. A few days later, she introduced herself, saying, "Hi, Mr. Elevator Man." They were married for 42 years until her death from colon cancer last year. The elevator will be named in her honor at Temple Friday. Matt Piper, CBS News.
Reading, writing, and renting?
Airbnb says 1 in 10 of its U.S. hosts is a teacher. In all, some 45,000 of the short-term rental properties listed on the site last year were owned by people in education. A nonprofit education news site called The 74 calculates each earned an average of $6,500 in extra income that way, badly needed extra income. Other figures released earlier this year showed 1 in every 5 teachers has had to take a second job to make ends meet. Vicki Barker, CBS News.
Finally this weekend, a Philadelphia library spinning yarns for the 21st century.
A beautiful aeroplane with a pointed nose.
My mini fresh and fragrant mistress.
It's called Lift Every Voice and Sing.
In a corner of the South Philadelphia Free Library, there's now a vending machine for literature. Think of it as Tales to Go.
It's a little old, but... it's a classic story.
It sounds pretty cool to me.
With the press of a button, users select a story that takes either 1, 3, or 5 minutes to read. Within seconds, the cylinder spits out a modern-day papyrus scroll.
Wow, that's a long one.
Yeah.
What I love about this project is that it gives us something a little bit old, a piece of paper, to have that tactile moment.
Andrew Nurkin helped bring the kiosks to the Philadelphia Library.
It uses a really interesting new technology, the kind of ATM machine of short stories, to make it delightful and joyful at the same time.
What's old is new again.
So yeah, exactly.
In an effort to promote literacy, Philadelphia is one of four American cities installing the short story ATMs in public libraries. There are 35 dispensers in various locations across North America and 180 worldwide.
Any minute that you can spend engaging with the written word is advancing literacy, and if it brings joy just for that minute or 5 minutes, that's great.
This joie de vivre comes courtesy of French company Short Edition, which makes the machines and manages a catalog of more than 100,000 stories.
Come sheep, O sheep, the certain knot of peace.
The tales vary in tone and style.
I have felt real dread, which resembled all things being equal. That's pretty sad.
They are free and guilt-free.
Some people would say, oh no, this is bad, it's paper. Mm-hmm. But this isn't.
No, so the paper is all environmentally friendly. The ink is biodegradable, so it's environmentally conscious and certainly recyclable.
Film director Francis Ford Coppola is the godfather of short story ATMs. In 2016, he brought the first American dispenser to his cafe in San Francisco.
I love the idea of a vending machine, a dispensing machine that doesn't dispense potato chips or beer or coffee for money, but gives you art.
Oh, this is from William Shakespeare.
I was totally in the dark. First I bumped into my bed, then I bumped into my closet.
In a constant and instant world, filled with transitory and transactional interactions, these stories transport us, if only for a minute.
Dana Jacobson reporting. That does it for the weekend roundup. Thanks for listening. The show's always online on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, and Spotify. We want to get your feedback. Drop us a line at weekendroundup@cbsnews.com and let us know where and how you're listening. The Weekend Roundup is produced at the CBS News Washington Bureau. Lou Walker is the technical supervisor. Have a great week. I'm Steve Dorsey, CBS News.